Hello, welcome to your daily briefing, March the 1st, 2020. Let us pray. We thank you, Heavenly Father, that you allow us to see around us the events that are taking place, so that we may mark carefully the things that you've told us in advance will occur. We ask today that you will fill us with understanding, so that we might work consciously with you, allowing the Holy Spirit to do that which we cannot do for ourselves. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. I'm sure by now you are aware of the fact that the coronavirus illness has been spread across the entire world. Now, there are those who believe that what happened in China could have been stymied a little earlier had it been reported on. And there's an article found in the USA Today website. That's the USA Today website. The article is published on the 12th of February, 2020. The writer of the article is Bill Sternberg. That's Sternberg. His last name is spelled S-T-E-R-N-B-E-R-G. That's Bill Sternberg. And the title of the article is Coronavirus Whistleblower's Death in China Carries a Warning for the U.S. The title again, Coronavirus Whistleblower's Death in China Carries a Warning for the U.S. Here's the article. As again, let me say, it's found in the USA Today website, published February the 12th, 2020. Here's the article. During a trip to China in 2018, we were watching BBS News in our hotel room when the anchorman started to talk about something going on in the country's western provinces. The screen went blank. After a minute or so, the picture returned. The newscaster had moved on to the next story. The next day, we mentioned the interruption to one of our tour guides. The government wants us to be happy, the guide said with a wry, tight-lipped smile. So they try not to show us things that would make us unhappy. I recall that exchange last week when I heard about the fate of Li Wenliang, a Chinese doctor who tried to sound the alarm about the new virus now spreading around the world. Li was a 34-year-old doctor in Wuhan, the epicenter of the coronavirus outbreak. On December the 30th, he took to WeChat to warn fellow doctors that several patients from a local market had come down with an illness resembling SARS. And of course, you know what SARS is, the severe acute respiratory syndrome. Like the Soviet authorities who downplayed the severity of the Chernobyl nuclear accident in 1986, local Chinese officials sought to keep the lid on Li's information. The doctor was accused of rumor-mongering. Security police forced him to sign a letter that accused him of making false comments that had severely disturbed the social order. After returning to work at Wuhan Central Hospital, he contracted the coronavirus from a patient who saw him for glaucoma on January the 10th. If the officials had disclosed information about the epidemic earlier, I think it would have been a lot better, he texted the New York Times from his hospital bed. There should be more openness and transparency. Dr. Li died last Friday, one of more than 1,100 victims of the coronavirus so far. He left behind a pregnant wife and a child. Li's tragic story isn't just a faraway tale of the damage that can be done when communist authorities try to suppress bad news, imperiling their own citizens and those of other nations. It's also a warning to Americans about the consequences of discrediting people who attempt to call out wrongdoing or danger. Think such a thing couldn't happen here in the U.S., where laws protect whistleblowers from retribution? Don't be so certain. Last summer, after an unidentified National Security Council aide raised alarms through proper channels on President Donald Trump's arms for dirt deal with Ukraine, the administration tried to suppress the complaint. Failing that, it assailed the whistleblower. Never mind that subsequent testimony thoroughly confirmed the whistleblower's allegations. And never mind that Republican members of Congress used to be big champions of whistleblower protections. Trump attacked the whistleblower on Twitter and retweeted articles that purported to reveal the person's identity. Senator Ron Paul, Republican from, tried to expose the identity during the question and answer portion of the impeachment trial. Wisely thwarted by Chief Justice John Roberts, Paul went ahead later and publicly disclosed the name anyway. Senate Judiciary Chairman Lindsey Graham plans an investigation, not of Paul's actions, but those of the alleged whistleblower. If they carry out this great threat of state-sponsored retaliation, whistleblowing as we know it may be over. Walter Schwab, a former director of the U.S. Office of Government Ethics, warned in the Washington Post. That would be a disastrous blow to government integrity. As the sad case of Dr. Lee shows, it would also be a threat to your health and safety. Contrary to what leaders here and abroad might want you to believe, ignorance is not bliss. So notice now, this doctor, Dr. Lee, wanted to inform the world. As a matter of fact, they actually got on the BBC News and the Chinese cut it off so that it couldn't be broadcast. Of course, this is way back. And notice when that broadcast was being made. It was in the year 2018, which means that the coronavirus was awake all of that time, 2 years ago. The article that I just read from, I suggest that you take a look at it. USA Today, published February the 12th, 2020. The writer of the article has been Bill Sternberg, S-T-E-R-N-B-E-R-G. And the title, Coronavirus Whistleblower's Death in China Carries a Warning for the U.S. Here's another article published in the Business Insider and published on September the 26th, 2019. There are two writers of that article, Sonam Sheth, S-H-E-T-H, and Grace Panetta, P-A-N-E-T-T-A. The title of that article is, Trump suggests the whistleblower who filed a complaint against him is guilty of treason, which is punishable by death. The article, again, is found in the Business Insider, published September the 26th, 2019. And the title of the article, Trump suggested the whistleblower who filed a complaint against him is guilty of treason, which is punishable by death. Here's that article. President Donald Trump suggested on Thursday that a whistleblower who filed a complaint against him is a spy who may have committed treason, the Los Angeles Times and the New York Times reported. The punishment for treason is death. Basically, that person never saw the report, never saw the call. He never saw the call, heard something and decided that he or she or whoever that was, they're almost a spy, Trump said at a private breakfast in New York, according to the Los Angeles Times report. I want to know who's the person. Who's the person who gave the whistleblower the information? Because that's close to a spy, he said. He added, you know what we used to do in the old days when we were smart, right? The spies and treason, we used to handle it a little differently than we do now. On Thursday evening, Bloomberg News obtained a video footage of Trump's comments. The complaint center on Trump's July 25th phone call to the Ukrainian president, in which Trump repeatedly pressured Zelensky, who was the president, to work with Rudy Giuliani and Attorney General William Barr on investigating former Vice President Joe Biden and to discredit the Russian probe. Days after the call, Trump ordered the U.S. to withhold a nearly $400 million military aid package to Ukraine. Notes on the call released by the White House on Wednesday showed that the U.S. president did not directly mention offering aid in exchange for Zelensky's assistance in investigating Biden, but said the U.S. does a lot for Ukraine right before asking Zelensky to do him a favor and investigate Biden, and the origins of the Russian probe. The whistleblower said that they were not a direct witness to the conduct described in the complaint or Trump's conversation with Zelensky, but learned of it from multiple White House officials with direct knowledge of the call. The whistleblower said they heard various facts relating to it from more than a half a dozen U.S. officials, recounting the fact and the patterns that were made in that call. The complaint also said White House officials who informed the whistleblower of Trump's call were deeply disturbed by what they had heard. They also told the whistleblower that White House lawyers were already discussing how to handle the call because they believed they'd witnessed Trump abuse his office for personal gain. Trump and his allies have repeatedly alleged that the whistleblower learned details about the call because someone within the intelligence community leaked them. But the acting director of national intelligence, Joseph McGuire, told the House Intelligence Committee on Thursday that the whistleblower likely got the information from Trump's own staff. McGuire also said the complaint was in alignment with the White House memo of the call. Trump has a history of baselessly accusing law enforcement agencies, specifically the FBI, of spying on him or committing treason. Trump has pushed discredited conspiracy theories that the FBI under President Barack Obama spied on him and his campaign and wiretapped him in Trump Tower, his signature property in Midtown Manhattan. The FBI was not wiretapping him, but did have a warrant for a 2011 to 2013 warrant to surveil a Russian crime ring running out of the 63rd floor of Trump Tower, ABC News reported in 2017. And the Washington Post and the New York Times reported in 2018 that the FBI had not spied on the campaign, as Trump described, but sent an informant to speak to three Trump campaign officials, Carter Page, Sam Clovis, and George Papalabadas, after opening an investigation into the campaign's potentially suspicious connections to Russia. In December 2017, Papadopoulos pleaded guilty to lying to the FBI about his contacts with Russia-linked individuals and ended up serving about 2 weeks in prison. Earlier this year, the news website Axios compiled a list of 24 instances since January 2018 in which Trump has accused someone of treason or treasonous behavior. Trump has applied the label to the FBI, the former special counsel Robert Mueller's Russia investigation, the Democratic Party, the media, and now an intelligence whistleblower. And of course, you heard what he said at the beginning of the article. He says that this treason is punishable by death. Now that's the end of that article. Second article found in the Business Insider, published September the 26th, 2019. The writer of that article is Sonam Sheth and Grace Panetta. And the title of that Business Insider article, Trump suggested the whistleblower who filed a complaint against him is guilty of treason, which is punishable by death. Another article along the same vein, but something that is quite interesting here. It's found in the CBS News, published February the 20th, 2020. The writer of this article is Melissa Quinn, Q-U-I-N-N. And the title of the article is Michigan Man Charged for Allegedly Sending Death Threat to Ukraine Whistleblower's Attorney. The title again? Michigan man charged for allegedly sending death threat to Ukraine whistleblower attorney. That article is found in the CBS News, published February the 20th, 2020. Now, of course, this Michigan man would not have known about it had not the Republicans revealed the name of the man. Here's the article. A Michigan man was indicted last week for allegedly threatening to kill an attorney representing the anonymous whistleblower whose complaint sparked impeachment proceedings against President Trump. The man, Britton Atkinson, was charged with one account of violating a federal statute that governs interstate communications according to the newly unsealed indictment. Atkinson allegedly sent an email to Mark Zaid, the attorney representing the whistleblower, on November the 7th, one day after Mr. Trump held a campaign rally in Louisiana, during which he read aloud year-old tweets from Zaid and flashed a paper bearing his photo to the audience. The email to Zaid read, "All traitors must die miserable deaths." This is what the president is reading, okay? "Those that represent traitors should meet the same fate. We will hunt you down and bleed you out like the pigs you are. We have nothing but time, and you're running out. Keep looking over your shoulder. We know who you are, where you live, and who you associate with. We are all strangers in a crowd to you." The filing was first discovered by Seamus Hughes, Deputy Director of George Washington University Program on Extremism. Zayed is not named in the document, but confirmed to CBS News he received the email. "I hope this indictment sends a message to others that such behavior will not be tolerated by a civil society that is governed by law," Zayed told CBS News in an email. "It's not appropriate for anyone to threaten another individual's life, regardless of political views." Zayed thanked the FBI and Justice Department for taking these threats seriously and sending the right message. "My job was to ensure the rule of law was followed in how whistleblowers are treated," he added. "That role should not be negatively weaponized by partisans." Zayed was part of the team representing the still unidentified whistleblower who filed a complaint with the intelligence community's inspector general, raising concerns about Mr. Trump's July 25th phone call to Ukraine President Zelensky. On the call, Mr. Trump pressured the newly elected president to investigate former Vice President Joe Biden and his son Hunter and look into an unsubstantiated theory about the 2016 presidential election. The phone conversation and the withholding of the whistleblower's complaint by the acting director of national intelligence led House Democrats to launch its impeachment inquiry into Mr. Trump. While he was impeached by the House on charges of abuse of power and obstruction of Congress, the Senate acquitted him on the two impeachment charges. Mr. Trump's Republican allies attempted to unmask the whistleblower during the impeachment proceedings and asked to have the person testify publicly. Their efforts, however, were rebuffed. So that's where we stand. And the president stood up and he read that email to the crowd. And of course, if you were watching that, you would have seen that the crowd was very happy, and it was quite a threat, quite a threat. That the last article I read for you is from the CBS News, published February the 20th, 2020. Perhaps we have a moment to take a look at the last article. This one is found in the Hill website. The Hill website. And it was published on February the 16th, 2020. The title of the article is "Trump Wanted CIA to Kill Bin Laden's Son Over Other High Priority Targets." That's subject again. "Trump Wanted the CIA to Kill Bin Laden's Son Over Other High Priority Targets." Here's a bit of that article. "President Trump wanted the CIA to kill Osama bin Laden's son, Hamza bin Laden, over other high-priority targets," NBC News reported Sunday. Intelligence officials reportedly briefed Trump on the top terrorist threats during the first 2 years of his presidency, including al-Qaeda's leader, Zawahiri, who remains alive. But the president would ask about Hamza bin Laden. He would say, "I've never heard about any of these people. What about Hamza bin Laden?" One former official told NBC News, with another Pentagon official saying it was the only name he knew. Osama bin Laden's youngest son was not believed to be planning any attacks or have a serious following, but was killed in an airstrike in 2018, current and former officials familiar with the matter told the network. Former CIA official Douglas London said the president had an obsession with getting Hamza bin Laden, adding to a JustSecurity.com article that the agency did recognize the value in his name recognition. Despite intelligence assessments showing the greater dangers posed by Zarari and the unlikelihood that Hamza was in the immediate line of succession, the president thought differently, London wrote. He regularly demanded updates on Hamza and insisted we accelerate our efforts to go after him. So your president is very serious of getting rid of who he considers needs to be gotten rid of. Of course, he's also very serious about making sure that the people that are his friends are not put in prison for 7 to 9 years, but for that matter, not put in prison at all. America is indeed changing. The concept of the Republican life of government. And when I say Republican government, I am not talking about a party now. I'm talking about the system of government. The concept is changing. No longer does the United States of America have two horns like a lamb, Republicanism and Protestantism. But she has already begun to speak as a dragon. We have been warned of this in Revelation chapter 13 and verse 11, and you and I today must be prepared for what is coming down the pike. Are you ready? Have you placed yourself in God's hand? Have you allowed yourself to be led by Him? Today God is calling you. Calling you to do that which is right and pleasing in His sight. We thank you, Heavenly Father, for all that you continue to do for us, and we thank you for how you continue to lead. We thank you especially for your protection, and we know that we can depend upon you. We place ourselves in your care today, asking that you will continue to inform us and instruct us. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. This has been your daily briefing, March the 1st, 2020.